Morning, guys.
I just feel like the Lord's not yet finished with some of us. Some of us are just in the process of that healing and breakthrough right now. And that Auntie Patricia's word about stepping forward, thank you for that word, Auntie Patricia, about stepping forward into your breakthrough. I think that some of you still need to do that. And maybe that's after the priest, just come forward for prayer. And let me get the word done, and then we can go to ministry and instead of, you know, rushing ministry too much. But can you stay in that place? All I'm saying is stay in that place that you're in right now. If God's already doing something in you, if he's doing a healing in you, or you just realize today is my day, that I'm going to step out of brokenness, I'm going to step out of mourning, I'm going to step out of, you know, whatever it is, and I'm going to step into that land that the Lord has for me. There's something that the Lord has secured for me in the spirit that I don't want to miss today. So just stay in that place, and then we'll minister straight afterwards, because I'm only going to go for 30 minutes. So we're good. I just want to honor my mom and my mom-in-law are both here today. They're sitting at the back there. That's just so thrilled. There's with Donna over there. That's Louise and Lynette. So just great to have them with us today. So my preach today is on knowing God, and it's called Knowing God, and it links to what we started last week, which was the accountability video that many of you guys watched. If you haven't watched the accountability video, please watch it. It's by Ryan Kingsley, who's an apostolic voice in 412. And by Sean Brightseth, who is a lead elder in Oxygen Life. So he's one of our group. And that word, you know, since we felt as an eldership team to introduce into the congregation, that word is like freaking us out. So if you haven't watched the accountability one, it's called Don't Judge Me. Please go watch it. It's a conversation between those guys. It's 30 minutes long, it's 29 minutes long. You can watch it quickly. We're gonna camp there for a while. So my message today is building on that accountability message. So I wanted to talk, you know, accountability is a huge topic, but it's very easy to get lost in the subject of accountability if we don't realize what the end goal of accountability is. If we just see accountability as just getting rid of my sin, I'm just going to try to get it. It's like sin is all focus. You know, I'm being accountable about areas that I'm struggling in or relationships I'm struggling in. If that's the focus, we're actually missing the end goal of accountability. The end goal of accountability is actually relationship. And we're going to talk about that today, how accountability leads to relationship. If we don't have relationship as the end goal of accountability and growing and you know, confessing our weaknesses and growing in that and getting people to pray for us, so that whole journey of coming into the light and working through our stuff, if we don't see relationship as the end goal, all we're doing is becoming religious people. We're just getting religion. God doesn't want us to be religion people, although religion is not a bad thing, okay? Because I think James talks about it's good religion is to feed the widows. I'm not talking about that kind of religion. I'm talking about just being, having like perfect lives. If that's just the goal, he doesn't want us to become religious people. He wants us to become relationship people. And we see this with Paul. And if anyone could have said, has authority in this area, it's Paul. And we see this in Philippians 3:4-8. Those of you know, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the protege of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the highest regarded teacher in Israel. He was the next superstar in the Jewish context. And then the Lord goes and spoils it all and saves him. And Saul becomes Paul. And he says here, and he's sharing from his own life, if this is 4b, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law of Pharisee, and Pharisees are perfect in everything. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I can now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, and we're getting to the key point here, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing, thank you, English teachers, worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everyone say knowing. If accountability is just leading us to live these perfect, you know, like we become like this, you know, which is still a good thing because God wants us to be holy. But if that's the end goal, we're missing the point. Paul said, I've got all this stuff as far as the, obviously he wasn't faultless in God's eyes because God looks at the heart, but on the outside, he was faultless. But all that stuff is actually useless if you don't know him. And it's a little bit, I must apologize in advance. I know this is recorded, so I'm apologizing for the recording as well. It's a really bad analogy, but it's like the analogy of trying to get into a nightclub. You're obviously trying to get into the nightclub to witness, right? So this is a very, very trendy nightclub. Just humor me. I have no idea what this is like. I've only seen it in the movies, right? I did have a BC history. It's just very similar to Andrew's testimony because we did it all together. But just imagine for a moment, humor me on this analogy, but honestly, I couldn't come up with a better one. I'm not saying go to a nightclub, right? Okay, so just imagine for a moment, hypothetically, to witness, you want to get into the trendiest nightclub. Imagine, you know, you've seen them in the movies, you know, and there's a queue outside of the nightclub. Everyone's trying to get in. Very difficult to get in. It's like one getting in every occasion. The nightclub's full, you know? And everyone in the line is super cool. Super cool looking people, dressed perfectly, you know? And to get into a nightclub, you need to be cool. And you need to be dressed really well. And there's a bouncer at the entrance deciding who comes in or not. You look down, in my case, and all I see is flip-flops, board shorts, and a t-shirt. It's basically impossible for me, and I'm not cool. It's impossible for me to get in. So, I go, despite that, I go past all the cool people, walk past this whole queue, and I walk straight to the front of the queue, and I go straight up to the bouncer. And I say, let me check what I say. Hey, I know the owner. So the bouncer goes inside and checks. Hey, boss, do you know so-and-so? Do you know Joey? Boss says, yeah, I know him or her. Let them in. It doesn't matter what you're wearing or if you're cool or not. What matters is who you know. At judgment day, Jesus says, Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these cool things? Prophesy in your name, in your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles. We look good, right? We were the cool and well-dressed. Then I'll tell them plainly, Jesus' own words, I never knew you. Away from you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you, or conversely, you never knew me. If relationship is not the end goal of all the stuff we're dealing with in our lives, we're missing the whole point. Accountability must lead to relationship. And when I talk about relationship, I mean it must lead to right relationship with God and right relationship with each other, with man. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. This is eternal life. I mean, this is a big scripture, right? This is eternal life. Not that you become so perfect. Not that you clean up all this stuff in your life. That is important. We'll talk about that in a sec. But this is eternal life. That they may know you. If we don't know him, nothing else counts. Good people don't go to heaven. People that know him go to heaven. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what the gospel says. You put your hope in Christ. You give your life to him. And you make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. He promises, he knocks at the door of your heart. He will come in and fellowship with you and have friendship with you and you with him. And it is open to all. It's open to all. If you breathe, it's open to you. And at that point, you know him and he knows you. And you're let in. This is an important thing to lay down before we continue. You cannot make yourself more right with God. The blood of Jesus does that. From the moment that you are saved, you are right with God. Cleaning up your life is not making yourself better for God. You are the perfect with God the moment the blood of Jesus touches you. But as you walk with God, because you enter a relationship, he will put his finger on things in your life that you need to adjust. In that moment, you either respond to him. You respond to that. Hey, Joey, I mean, my first one was the F word, right? You've heard my testimony. I used to put, how many F words can I put into one sentence? I know it's hard to believe. It was a very long time ago. Because it was anger in my heart. That's the first thing. You touched it in the first week. You said, oh, Joey, I don't like the F word. I don't like it. And it's not just the word. It's a curse coming out of it. And, I mean, some guys just say it to be cool, but God doesn't like it. In that moment, I either respond or I don't. Or if you're disobedient in that moment, to some degree, the relationship stalls or goes on pause, potentially even. And if you don't believe that as you walk with God, that your relationship with God can pause or stall, even backslide. Ryan mentioned it in the video last week. Hebrews 3, 12 to 15. So you're walking with God. You're perfectly clean in his sight. Nothing you can do can make you better. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. And you're all happily. And then one day the Lord touches something and says, I don't like this. I don't like how you speak to your wife. I don't like what you did to your friend. I don't like that you're lazy at work. He just touches something. It's interesting with God. He tends to touch one thing. He touches one thing in your life. And in that moment you go, oh my goodness, I'm there. I was having such a cool day. Now I've got to deal with something. And you can go share it with a friend. You know, be accountable. Hey, God's speaking to me about this thing. Can you just pray with me? I need to speak better with my wife. I need whatever it is. But if you don't respond in that moment, you're suddenly going to start to hit a stall. And I don't know how long you can be at that stall. Maybe you can hit that stall for months or years or whatever. Some guys talk about going around the mountain. You won't go up. God doesn't like say, oh, I'll just change the thing that I'm going to tell you about. When God decides to pick a battle in your life, you better don't think that battle will go away. When he says, I'm doing this one now, it's on his terms. We don't say, oh, I don't want to deal with that one today, Lord. If he wants to deal with that one today, and if you decide in that moment, I'm not gonna respond to God, that's when there seems to be like a cooling that happens between you and God. I'm not saying that you don't become saved. I'm not saying that you have total loss of relationship, but there's a cooling that the fire starts to go out. And Ryan mentioned, and it's a brilliant scripture, Hebrews 3, 12 to 15. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So walking with God in relationship is about responding to him, not making yourself good enough for him. Keep that. Yeah? So, I've got a few points now, and why, in the context of accountability, it's so important I make this point now, which is that we need to start with first things first. Right relationship in general, if we take it as a category between God and man, right relationship primarily starts with God first. If we often find, I think we can all agree, generally speaking, if someone is doing well with God, they're usually doing well in their relationships, as much as up to them. And if someone is doing poorly with God, you normally find there's relationship conflict starting to happen. I'm saying as much as it up to you. When Jesus always prioritizes your relationship with God first. And the reason is from out of that relationship, stuff can flow. So we see it in Matthew, healthy things can flow. Matthew 22, 35 to 39. Why I'm making this distinction is in accountability, we often go up to someone and we're in an accountable relationship and we say, maybe I'm with John. And I say, and John's sharing with me and John's been accountable to me. So he's telling me about his stuff in his life and I'll have a coffee with John and I'll say, how's your marriage? It looks wonderful, by the way. And how many years? 54 years. It's amazing. So, and then I'll ask him about how's this, how's that, how's that. Sometimes that's not the right place to start. Sometimes the right place to start first is, hey, John, how are you and Jesus? Because if we don't start in our accountability relationships with that first, sometimes we start to deal with the leaves on the tree instead of dealing with the root of the tree. And Jesus says, yeah, in Matthew 22, 35 to 39, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Most of the problems in relationships have got a five-letter word. Anyone know it? It starts with a P. Who said that? Thank you, Haley. Pride. Either pride in you, pride in them, or pride in both. And Jesus says this instead. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. When we start to spend time with God, there's like a humility that just comes. And you can never claim humility, because as soon as you're claiming humility, then you're prideful, right? But as you hang with him, God's humility starts to rub off on you. And suddenly you'll notice that humility starts to come into the relationships. Relationships are a two-way street. But you can see when you are being a help to a relationship or a not help to a relationship. When you start to spend time with God, you start to move yourself into the, I'm helping this difficult relationship. Not, I'm not helping this difficult relationship. It's as much as it is in your control. I know we can't, I'm not saying that you're going to be fine with everyone, because even the Bible says that that's not possible. The Bible says as much as it's up to you. But I can tell you that as much as it's up to you and your own strength, you're going to fail. But as you spend time with Jesus, in your relationship with him, you'll start to see the love start to flow from you through into that thing as much as possible. Whether the person responds to you or not, you have no control over. So my point here is, in accountability, when we're dealing with relationships, this is about 35 years ago, there was someone accountable to me. I loved this guy. And I could see he was having a tough time. I didn't meet with him and go, hey, bro, how's this? Because he would just be broken and there'd be no grace flow. I just looked at him and I went, how's Jesus? And he went, Jesus is not cool. Or Jesus is cool, but me and Jesus are not cool. And we started there. And we said, let's just get that thing going, man. What's the point of dealing with all the stuff until we come to the root? Because only Jesus can flow through you and fix the stuff. So in accountability, we've got to start with relationship with God first. How's your relationship with God? How's Jesus? Otherwise, we're just becoming religious people. We're not pointing people to Jesus. So important. So that's that point. Okay. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through because I summarized. Okay, point two. How much do you value your relationship with God? I'm asking myself the question as well. How much do I value my relationship with God? Is it more important than everything? Do you take it for granted? Or do you not want to do anything that would affect it? If our relationship with Him, the man, is worth more than anything, you will not want to sin. And we see this with David sinning, and David sinning, King David sinning in Psalm 51, 1 to 12. When David sinned, we'll see what he feared most. For the director of music, a Psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Okay, that's the intro. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Don't know why you come read. I can't break the tradition. Verse 2.
Gavin said I was dressed for reading today. Just want to acknowledge my mom taking me to iStepford all this time. This is what it was for. Okay. Psalm 51, 1 to 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Thank you, Donna. What did David fear most? What David feared most from his sinning was loss of relationship. Do not take your presence from me or your Holy Spirit from me. He didn't care about, it's bad, but that wasn't his primary. His primary accountability, everyone's reading about his sin today and it's like 5,000 years later, he's out in the open. Think about it. He wrote the psalm for the guys to sing, right? Because the songs, the psalms are like a song sheet for the musicians. So he wrote about us. How's that for openness and accountability? But despite that, he wasn't freaking about the sin itself, even though that was bad. I'm not want to talk about that. But what was freaking him out was, I don't want to blow this relationship with God. Do not take your presence from me. And if that's where we're at, we will not want to sin. Okay, I'm going to move on. There's the point made. Okay. What is the most valuable thing in this world? Okay, I'm talking about this world. I'm not talking about... Yeah, right now. What is the most valuable thing here? 2026, this world, right? If we take away all your possessions, we take away every last thing, what's the most valuable thing? What's the last thing left? Life. Breathing. It's the last thing you have left. But who wants to lose it? Everyone wants to hang on to life to the very last moment. There's something just so magical, is the wrong word, but life, the gift of life. You know, my dad just passed away 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday, on that very hot Wednesday night, after 10 years. But I saw Dad that afternoon. I was in his room, and I could see him fighting for life. So to the very end, people hang on to life. Even people that are maybe struggling in their lives so bad that they, you know, want to take their lives, want to commit suicide, even then, there's something in them that just wants to hang on, that they'll see another sunrise. There's something so absolutely precious about life. It is our greatest thing. David says that relationship with God is worth more than life. And we see that in Psalm 63, 1 to 3. A psalm of David, when he was in the desert of Judah. You, God, are my God. Imagine, he's in a desert, no water, no food, nothing. But look where his focus is. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. He's longing for God. He's thirsty for God more than his body is thirsty for water. Oh, is that us? That's why the anointing is upon us to be that. Because we have even more than King David had. We have baptism in the Holy Spirit, full, unmeasured. We have every single thing in Christ. David was an anomaly. He had, by some miracle, given the Holy Spirit, but he was an anomaly. Most guys look forward to the day that we had. I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. Your love, my relationship with you is worth more to me than life. I read that, I was having a quiet time with Ethan. I read that other day and I went, oh my goodness. Because I remember sometimes I'm like that, but I know that often I'm not. And I need that scripture to just bounce me back and go, hey bro, are you where you should be? Are we where we should be? Can we say, like David said, can we be in that place? And David had this stuff, eh? I mean, he's a king. And he went, I love you more than life. And he had the stuff. We can't say, you know, well, he was poor and didn't have any stuff. He had the stuff. Amen? Okay. Why don't we just go to a time of prayer? So I did say to you guys, and I'll call Gavin come lead as well, obviously. I did say, try staying in that place a lot, with the prophetic words where God is saying, today I want you to step into more. Today you're, you know, maybe you're like, it's a River Jordan thing, you know, you're crossing the River Jordan into the promised land today. And you need to respond to that, because Auntie Patricia said you need to sometimes make a prophetic action to say, I'm claiming it today. But don't do it for man. Like, I'm not saying you must do anything, you know, don't even think, what do I usually do? Just respond. Just say, but think, you got to take, you know, the thing is, the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is gained by violent men and the violent laid by force. There needs to be sometimes, there's something in the spirit that you need to grab hold of. You know, Jacob fought for his inheritance and Jacob became Israel. Esau did not fight for his inheritance and he was the firstborn. I tell you, sometimes you got to fight for this thing. And sometimes you got to say, I'm not going to stay in this place anymore. Whatever, and if it's in a bad place, if you're still sitting on prescription and the Lord's saying your prescription is over, that you go, God, I'm taking hold of your life today. You know, Jesus, went to the cross, and we celebrate that next week. And he went into Jerusalem, and we're celebrating that today. So that the resurrection power that he initiates through dying on the cross and rising from the dead on the third day can be alive in you. That's what he died for, to get you off your prescription. But some of us are not taking hold of it. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So let's see some fire in this room. And some fire in you. So why don't you stand? Maybe I can get Joe and the keys and Gavin can come join in. If there's any more prophetic, we can just go. But I really do feel like, and we can have lingering ministry because we can rap, you know, we can rap and who wants to go can go. But I just really feel like the New Spirit's a response. But maybe just before we go to that Christian response time, for those that are already born again, maybe we can all stand up and I can just give an opportunity for those that might want to respond to the free gift of salvation. So nearly 2 billion people around the earth claim to be Christians today. How many are authentic? Only God knows. The year we have today, 2026, where does that date come from? The date tracks back to the birth of Christ. It's the greatest gift ever given humanity. But you may not have responded to that gift. And if Jesus is calling your number today, he promises to come and sup with you, which means to come and eat with you in the realm of your heart and you with him. But you must receive him. You must acknowledge that he died on the cross for your sins to take your punishment upon himself. That he lived a sinless life on earth so that he could be the perfect sacrificial lamb for you. So that you can enter into relationship with God. Jesus said his words, no one comes to the Father. No one comes to relationship with God except through me. He's the door. He calls himself the door so many times. He calls himself the way to relationship with God. I also want to tell you, and for some, remind you, that you are not made and created for yourself. God says in Colossians 1 that you are created, 1:16, you are created by him and created for him. You're not even created for yourself. You do not own yourself. God owns you. But he created you with a purpose for relationship. And you may be missing out or have missed out on that relationship for what Jesus went to the cross for. And you know today you need to start that relationship. And today is as good a day as any. And I read the scripture earlier that said, today don't harden your hearts. I mean, it literally says today with capital T. You don't know. We've got this moment. Don't put it off. Take hold of it. Fight forward. Be like Jacob who fought for his inheritance because God has something for you that will change your life. You know that you need to acknowledge, and the Bible says that Jesus' words, him who acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge them at that nightclub. I will say, yep, I know them. He who acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge them on that great and terrible day where we will all face judgment. But the good news is that Jesus will preserve you from that judgment. And on the day of judgment, you will be ushered away into the bosom of Jesus. You will not have to face judgment because that will be a terrible thing. Jesus offers, and God the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That's the free gift of life, and God offers it to you. If you know you need to say, Jesus, I'm doing this today. This is my day. Why don't you just raise your hand where you are and we will just pray together with you. All pray together a prayer with you. Is anyone today saying, this is my day, I need to do it today? I've not done it, or maybe I've walked away. Anyone in this meeting will pray with you today. We'll just give it a moment.